Remember the easy button? In 2005, the Staples office supply company, in trying to boost its online sales, came out with a promotional gimmick, the easy button, a large red plastic button that did essentially nothing, but had the word easy written across it. Originally, the easy button was just a visual prop for TV commercials. But Staples customers wanted to see more of it. So after being deluged with inquiries from customers asking where they could buy their own easy button, the company brought it out as an actual product. This novelty item did nothing, but something about the concept appealed to people. Globally, more than 1.5 million easy buttons with the word easy translated into a variety of languages had been sold by the end of 2006. And no wonder. There are lots of things in life we wish could be as easy as pushing a button. Kermit the Frog sang on Sesame Street and the Muppet Show, "It isn't easy being green." The song can also remind us that it isn't easy being Christian. It isn't easy being Christian. St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians today, is pushing the community's easy buttons. Whatever we may think of the Apostle Paul, we are unlikely to think of him as a lazy person or someone who prefers the easy path. Idleness just isn't part of Paul's DNA. It's not who he is. We get the feeling that he doesn't really think that true believers can take the easy way and be lazy people. He says, "For we hear that some of you are living in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, by minding the business of others." The early Christians were generous folks who tried to share the burdens and alleviate the needs around them. However, human beings being what they are, there are those who try to take advantage of this generosity. And we make judgments about the folks we drive past at our city's intersections. Like the folks in Paul's community, some know how to play on good intentions. Now, let me be clear that Paul and I are not talking about folk who want to work and for one reason or another cannot. Paul's rule is aimed at the moochers among us. Those folk who put their energy into working the system instead of working the job. The unemployment rate in the U.S. is somewhere around 5%. That means that 1 out of 20 able adults is without a job. And another percent of those who have jobs are underemployed and without benefits. This does not begin to touch on the poverty and homelessness worldwide. Anytime we give, someone will try to take advantage of that. Paul's advice: no work, no dinner. gives us permission to set some boundaries. We are not called to have folks take advantage of us. But at the same time, we still need to risk giving. Every person ought to be responsible for his or her own job. Whether it is homemaking or going to work daily in an office, in a factory, in the fields, or in the classroom. Paul himself was a tent maker. He was very capable of earning his own living. As an itinerant preacher, he could have relied on the contributions of others in exchange for his service. But he does not need that help. He makes it clear that he does not want to place a burden on them. Paul's counsel by example: don't ask others to do for you what you can do for yourself. Now, some folks are challenged in doing for themselves. They are unemployed because of illness or disability. As I stated earlier, some use the system. However, to use this as a reason not to help others is absolutely wrong. Many reasons exist why a person may not be working, although they are most willing and anxious to work. They have burdens too heavy to bear. Well, after dealing with the moochers, Paul takes on the busybodies. Every organization has them, and a parish church is no exemption. A fine line exists between being helpful and butting in. But we all know people who are much too interested in another's business. They assume ownership of issues that are not theirs. They speak with great authority about things that are none of their business, and about things which they often have limited information or are just plain wrong. They second guess the decisions of others. Oh, it should have been done this way and not that way. They are good at keeping things stirred up. Neither the moocher nor the busybody contributes to the general well-being of the community. And Paul's focus is on the life of the community. He says it is not enough to have an individual commitment to Jesus Christ. That commitment must be lived out in the context of a faith community. We are to be burden bearers who support each other in carrying their loads. Burden bearers. The Greek word for burden means a load that is too heavy to carry. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome." He says that he will help us carry our load. When Jesus was overburdened by the weight of the cross, Simon of Cyrene helped him bear the burden. When we help people bear their burdens, when their loads are too heavy to carry by themselves, we are their Simon. We are Christ to them. And just as true, what we do for others, we do for Christ. President-elect Donald Trump will soon bear the full burden of the office of president. In his desire to be president for all Americans, I hope he will build more bridges than walls. Burdens need not be financial. We can lend a listening ear to someone who is burdened by the death of a loved one. We can go to the grocery store for a homebound neighbor. We could relieve a young mother so she can shop without dragging the children behind her. We can read to a sightless person or drive another to a doctor's appointment. We can fix a meal for a new mom or somebody recently home from the hospital. The list is only limited by our imagination. So let me ask you, how are you helping to be a burden bearer for others? Jesus is the greatest burden bearer of all time. As we move now to the Lord's table, in the Eucharist, we become one with that burden bearer, Jesus, and everyone else in this church. Our challenge is to carry our own load, but be prepared to help others bear their burden. And if we do that, we can be assured of the promise given by Malachi in today's Old Testament prophecy when he wrote, "The Son of Justice will arise for us with its healing rays."